The world ends not with a bang, but with a calculated whisper. A child stumbles from a wheat field, crying for help. A woman named Sarah rushes forward, her compassion becoming her death sentence. The child detonates, leaving nothing but ash where seven people once stood. This is the fifth wave, the latest phase in a methodical alien invasion that has already claimed billions of lives. The genius lies not in superior weaponry, but in psychological warfare, turning our humanity against us. First came darkness as electricity failed worldwide. Then tsunamis obliterated coastal cities. A devastating plague followed, killing with terrifying efficiency. The fourth wave inserted sleeper agents among survivors. Now children become unwitting bombs, exploiting our most basic instinct to protect the innocent. What happens when every human connection becomes a potential death sentence? When trust itself might kill you? This isn't just an invasion, it's the systematic dismantling of what makes us human. The aliens have created a world where compassion is a liability and suspicion is survival. Yet even as humanity faces extinction, a small group of survivors clings to the very connections that could destroy them. In an abandoned hotel, survivors debate their next move. Fierce Cassie keeps watch while Nugget and Teacup sleep nearby. Ben Parrish, zombie, nurses an infected bullet wound but maintains his dark humor, while Pragmatic Ringer prepares to scout nearby caverns for better shelter. Their temporary refuge has become a pressure cooker of conflicting survival strategies. Each embodies different responses to catastrophe. Cassie represents hope, believing alien silencer Evan Walker survived the Camp Haven explosion. Ringer embodies cold pragmatism, viewing emotional attachments as dangerous luxuries. Ben shoulders leadership despite his wounds, feeling responsible for the younger survivors. When Ringer departs to scout, her conversation with Ben reveals their shared loss. He flirts awkwardly, reminiscing about normal teenage life, Twitter feeds and tardy bells, hoping someday students will casually learn about the alien invasion that killed 7 billion people while complaining about soggy tater tots. This moment highlights how desperately they cling to memories of normalcy while facing a permanently altered world. The forest stands silent under fresh snow as Ringer moves with precision. Through her rifle scope, she spots movement, someone approaching. Unlike Cassie, who once felt guilt after killing, Ringer embraces rage over fear. The shot rings out, and horror dawns as she realizes she shot 12-year-old Teacup, who secretly followed her against orders. Ringer faces an impossible choice that crystallizes the novel's central dilemma: mercy kill Teacup to prevent capture and torture, or risk everything trying to save her? Her internal struggle reveals her humanity despite her attempts at detachment. She remembers telling Zombie that the minute we decide one person doesn't matter, they've won. As helicopters approach, Ringer creates a third option, using a dead recruit's tracking implant to appear as one of them in their detection systems. She carries the wounded child toward the road as Blackhawks hover overhead, unslings her rifle, and prepares to fight. A moment of defiance embodying the resilient human spirit. Ben questions Cassie about why advanced aliens would wait until humans numbered 7 billion before attacking rather than striking centuries earlier when we were more vulnerable. This logical inconsistency becomes the first thread that unravels their understanding of the invasion. Through analysis, Cassie realizes a devastating truth. This isn't about ripping the planet away from us, this is about ripping us. Each wave was calculated not just for maximum casualties, but maximum psychological impact, destroying civilization, triggering natural disasters, unleashing pandemic disease, and turning humans against each other. This reveals something more insidious than a simple invasion. The others aren't merely seeking Earth, they're methodically destroying human society. by turning children into unwitting bombs and teenagers into soldiers who kill their own kind, they've weaponized our most sacred relationships. The horror culminates with messengers, children implanted with explosive devices. When Cassie must defuse such a device in young Megan's throat, the scene becomes a haunting metaphor for humanity's position between survival and self-destruction. Against this backdrop of destruction, love emerges not as weakness but as defiance. Cassie's relationship with Evan Walker, a silencer who fell in love with her despite his programming, embodies the balance between trust and survival. When he reappears severely injured, their reunion mirrors the larger human-invader conflict through conflicting emotions. Similarly, Ringer and Razor develop a bond at the military base where she's captive. Their relationship grows through chess games that become a secret communication system and shared stories about their pasts. Despite constant surveillance, they find moments of connection that become acts of rebellion. Both relationships flourish against impossible odds, like rare plants in nuclear winter. In a world designed to destroy human connection, these characters forge bonds through small acts of kindness, a saved portion of food, a whispered warning, a gentle touch. These relationships culminate in sacrifice. Evan returns despite his injuries to help Cassie escape. Razor sacrifices himself to free Ringer. These acts contrast with the aliens' calculated destruction, suggesting love might be humanity's most powerful weapon against extinction. During Ringer's captivity under Commander Vosch, she undergoes experimentation with the 12th system, microscopic robots enhancing her abilities while preserving her consciousness. Through conversations with Vosch, she questions the aliens' tactics. Why would beings capable of interstellar travel use relatively primitive methods like EMPs and plagues when they could simply direct an asteroid at Earth? Through interrogation and observation, Ringer discovers a horrifying truth. There are no aliens. The supposed alien consciousness is actually a pre-programmed psychological construct implanted before birth, activated during puberty. The enemy isn't an external force, but humanity itself. Humans programmed to believe they're alien entities carrying out a cleansing mission with absolute conviction. Vosch's question becomes the central dilemma, am I human? To which Ringer can only respond, if you are human, there is no hope. This devastating conclusion suggests humanity's potential for self-destruction might be inseparable from its nature. Our capacity for calculated cruelty exists alongside our ability to love and connect, two sides of the same human coin. The novel concludes with Cassie watching the five survivors, gray ghosts in the dawn woods. When Evan impossibly returns despite his injuries, their reunion embodies humanity's resilience. Their connection persists despite everything designed to destroy it. Cassie reflects that the world ended once and will end again, but the world always comes back, capturing the novel's message about hope, not comfortable reassurance, but recognition that endings and beginnings form an eternal cycle in which humanity endures. The infinite sea works on multiple levels: the literal ocean that claimed coastal cities, the metaphorical emptiness after civilization's collapse, and the depth of human experience with its capacity for both cruelty and compassion. In this infinite sea of possibility, the characters choose to swim rather than sink, choosing connection over isolation, action over surrender, humanity over mere survival. Even in a world where children became weapons, something essentially human remains worth fighting for.